بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين. ايها الاخوه في الله، يسرنا في هذه الليله المباركه ان نستضيف فضيله الشيخ صلاح كنتوش حفظه الله تعالى بكلمه عنوانها احذر من نشر كل ما تعلم. Pleasure to have with us our noble Sheikh Salah Kantoush. May Allah bless and preserve him. We'll be delivering a lecture entitled Beware of Spreading Everything That You Know. فليت فضل الشيخ رحمه الله مشكور.
إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة الأفاضل، نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحب يرضى من الأقوال والأفعال الظاهرة والباطنة. وكما تقدم أننا إن شاء الله تعالى في هذا الوقت نتكلم ونتذاكر عن الحذر من نشر كل ما يعلمه الإنسان، الحذر من نشر كل ما يعلمه الإنسان، حيث يظن كثير من المهتمين بالعلم وبتحصيل العلم أنه لابد أن ينشر كل العلم، وربما نزل على هذه الحال الحديث المعروف: من كتم علما ألجمه الله يوم القيامة بلجام من نار. وهو حديث حسن، أخرجه ابن حبان في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. لكن أهل العلم قد بينوا أن ليس المراد كل العلم، إنما المراد العلم الذي تحتاج إليه الأمة وتحتاج إلى معرفته في أمر دينها من الأحكام الشرعية ونحو ذلك. نعم.
أحسن الله إليكم. I'm Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala. Began with the one on Qiblat al-Hajjah, saying, All praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His help and forgiveness. Seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own souls and from our own evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah allows to be led astray, no one can guide. Bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is one and has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions, and those who follow their guidance until the day of resurrection. O you who believe, fear Allah as He deserves to be feared, and do not die until and unless you are submitting to Him as Muslims. O humankind, fear your Lord, who created you from a single soul, and from that soul He created its mate. And from them both He dispersed many men and women throughout the earth. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut off ties with the wombs that bore you. Verily, Allah is watching over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and use sound and proper speech. If you do so, Allah will rectify your affairs and forgive your sins, and whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved the greatest success. There's no doubt that the best and most truthful of speech is the Book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of all affairs are those newly introduced matters into our religion. Every newly introduced matter into our religion is an accursed innovation. Every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. My dear brothers, We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all to what is pleasing and beloved to Him from statements and actions, those which are inward and apparent. And as was mentioned, we will be addressing tonight and studying with one another the issue of not spreading the knowledge of everything that we know. As many students of knowledge of those who busy themselves with seeking knowledge may believe it an obligation to teach everything that they learn, applying or trying to apply thereby the hadith of the Messenger that whoever conceals knowledge, then on the day of judgment, Allah will put a muzzle on him, a muzzle of fire on his face. This hadith is Hassan, and it's recorded by Ibn Hibban and Sahih on the authority of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The people of knowledge, however, have clarified that what is intended by this hadith is not that a person must spread everything that he knows of knowledge. Rather, what the obligation of spreading knowledge is, and what the ummah is in need of knowing from the affairs of their religion and the rulings regarding the Sharia. Tafadhal Sheikh.
نعم بارك الله فيكم. فهذا الحديث الذي سبق الإشارة أو الإشارة إليه، من كتم علما ألجمه الله يوم القيامة بلجام من نار، لا يتنزل في كل العلم. ولذلك جاء في بعض الطرق من العلم الذي مما يحتاج إليه، جاء في بعض ألفاظ الحديث العلم الذي يحتاج إليه. ولذلك كانت تبويبات أهل العلم في ذلك صريحة، كما بوب ابن حبان رحمه الله عند هذا الحديث في صحيحه بقوله ذكر إيجاب العقوبة في القيامة على الكاتم العلم، على الكاتم العلم الذي يحتاج إليه في أمور المسلمين. وهذا لأن كثيرا من الشباب، من شباب المسلمين، يقعون في كثير من المشاكل، يقعون في كثير من المشاكل بناء على عدم فهمهم لهذه القضية المهمة، فتراهم ينشرون أمورا في العامة، سواء كانت من الأمور الخاصة أو من الأمور العامة، فتجد أن فلانا ربما يحصل أن تكلم في فلان فينال منه بكلام قبيح، فيأتي الشيطان إليه ويقول له اذهب إلى فلان وقل له بأن فلانا ذكرك بسوء أو نالك أو نال منك، ولم يتنبه هذا المسكين أن هذا من النميمة، وهو يظن أنه بذلك ينصر أخاه بغير أن يدري. وقد جاء أن رجلا جاء إلى وهب ابن المنبه رحمه الله، الإمام وهب، فقال له مررت بفلان وهو يشتمك، فغضب وهب وقال أما وجد الشيطان رسولا غيرك، أما وجد الشيطان رسولا غيرك، أي يأتي بهذا الكلام. قال فما برح أن جاء هذا الرجل الشاتم، جاء فسلم على وهب فرد عليه السلام وصافحه وأجلسه إلى جانبه، وتأمل أنه لم يذكر له أن فلانا جاء وأخبرني أنك شتمتني ونحو هذا من الكلام، لأن هذا من الغيبة أو من النميمة الذي فعله. ولهذا يجب على طلاب العلم وعلى العامة، يجب أن يعلموا أن هناك من الأمور ما تكون من الأسرار التي لا يصح نشرها. فهذا حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه الذي جعله النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أمين سره في المنافقين، وقد مات رضي الله عنه ولم ينشر تلك الأسماء. نعم.
The aforementioned hadith that whoever conceals knowledge, then Allah will put a muzzle of fire on his mouth on the day of resurrection, doesn't apply to everything, every knowledge. So it's not necessary to teach everything that you learn. This is why we find in some narrations of the same hadith specified, whoever conceals any knowledge that is needed to be known. Any knowledge, some narrations specify this. Whoever conceals knowledge that people need to know. Thus we find in the compilations of the people of knowledge, scholars in their writings, when mentioning this hadith, they would give chapter titles indicating and specifying that this is talking about particular things of knowledge, not everything. As we find that Ibn Hibban, Rallah in his Sahih, when mentioning this hadith, he gave it a chapter title, which is mentioning the punishment of the one who conceals knowledge which the Muslims need in the affairs of their deen. Many youth nowadays, they get themselves in big trouble because they fail to understand this very important affair. That you don't need to spread everything that you know. It's not necessary to teach everything that you learn. So you find that many people are spreading knowledge amongst the laymen that perhaps are private affairs. Not everyone needs to know. Or they may be public knowledge, but also not everyone needs to know that. So it may be that they find out that a person has spoken ill of another person. And Shaytan comes to them and says, go to so-and-so and tell him that so-and-so is speaking bad about him. And he thinks that by doing this, that he's helping his brother out. And he doesn't realize that he's tale-carrying, that this is namima. This is gossip, which is one of the major sins. So he thinks that he's helping his brother, but actually he's committing a sin. It's narrated that once a man came to Wahb ibn Murabbi, and he said, I just passed by so-and-so, and he was insulting and speaking ill of you. And Wahb became angry, and he said, did Shaytan find no other messenger than you to deliver this knowledge? Then that same man, who he had been informed was speaking ill of him, came, and he gave salams to Wahb. And Wahb returned the salams to him, and he shook his hand, and he set him next to him as if nothing had ever happened. Why? Because he realized that what had been said was namima. It was a sin, so he squashed it, forgot about it. It's an obligation upon the students of knowledge to understand that there are certain things that are secrets, that are to remain secret, and it's not befitting to publish them and make them public. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was the one whom the Prophet entrusted with the secret of the names of the munafiqeen. He informed him of the names of all of the people who were hypocrites. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he died without informing anybody of this because it was a secret. It wasn't to be spread. Now, tafaddal Shaykh.
Barakallahu feekum. فإذا علمنا ذلك معاشر الإخوة نستفيد من هذا أن هناك أمورا لابد أن تكتم ولا تنشر بين الناس، وقد جاء يعني من هذا أو في هذا ما أورده الإمام مسلم رحمه الله في مقدمة صحيحه، فقد أورد أثرا جميلا في مثل هذا الموضوع، وأن من العلم ما ينبغي أن يكتم لمصلحة أو لدفع مفسدة. فجاء أن الإمام مسلم رحمه الله تعالى قال، وذكر هذا الأثر بإسناده، قال: حدثني عبيد الله ابن معاذ العنبري قال: حدثنا أبي قال: كتبت إلى شعبة أسأله عن أبي شيبة القاضي أو قاضي واسط، فكتب إلي: لا تكتب عنه شيئا ومزق كتابي، ومزق كتابي. فهذا شعبة رحمه الله خاف ضرر وأذية هذا القاضي، ولذلك جاء في ترجمة هذا القاضي أنهم قالوا أو أنهم سكتوا عنه. وهذا القاضي هو أبو شيبة إبراهيم ابن عثمان العبسي. قال البخاري في تاريخه الصغير: سكتوا عنه. وهذا في إفادة حتى في باب الجرح والتعديل وفي بعض أمور الفتن، قد تجد أن العالم يتكلم في فلان أو يحذر من فلان لمصلحة معينة، ولا يحب أن ينشر هذا الكلام على الملأ لأمور من المصالح، وحتى لا يتقع مفاسد تترتب على ذكر هذا النشر. وهكذا أيضا ما جاء في صحيح البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه أنه قال: حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وعاءين، فأما أحدهما فبثثته، وأما الآخر فلو بثثته قطع هذا البلعوم. وهذا الأثر الذي ذكره أهل العلم ممن ذكروا على أن هذا العلم مما يخاف من نشره، سواء أو خاصة فيما يتعلق بأمر الفتن وأسماء أهل الفتن وبعض ما يقع من الأمراء وبعض ما يقع من بعض الناس الذين هم أهل شر. وإن كان في الأصل أن العلم الذي تحتاج إليه الأمة لا بد أن ينشر، العلم الذي تحتاج إليه الأمة لا بد أن ينشر. نعم.
السلام عليكم. If we understand the previously mentioned points, one of the lessons that we learned is that there are certain affairs that it's obligatory to conceal, and they're not permissible to spread around. From these, what we read in the introduction to Sahih Muslim, a very beautiful athar talking about this very topic, that there are some things which are not befitting to let out of the box, because there is some benefit in concealing them, or there is some harm that's going to come as a result of spreading them. So Imam Muslim said that Ubaydillah ibn Mu'adh Ambari told me that his father said that I wrote to Shu'bah asking him about Abi Shayba, the Qadi of Wasat, the Qadi of a city. And his father responded to him saying, don't write anything that he says, don't learn anything that he says. And this letter of mine that I'm replying to you with, rip it up. So he was giving him the answer. But he said, keep this between me and you. Don't go and learn from him, don't take knowledge from him, but don't tell anybody else what I'm telling you. This is because Shayba feared that there was going to be some harm coming about of speaking ill and revealing the affair of this Qadi. He was a person of authority. It's come to biography that this Qadi, the people of Najd remained quiet about him. They didn't say anything. His name was Abu Shayb Ibrahim ibn Uthman al-Absi. And Bukhari, in his concise book of history, remained quiet about him, said that the people of Najd didn't mention anything about him. And this is a lesson that we learn when it comes to Jarh wa Ta'deel, and when it comes to the affairs of fitna, that there may be some benefit in concealing knowledge about an individual, and it's not necessary to spread all of the knowledge about what is mentioned of a person, because there may be harm that comes as a result. Fa'an Sahih Bukhari, on the authority of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said that I memorized two things from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of them, if I were to mention it, then my throat would be cut. And people of knowledge mentioned that because this had to do with fitna. Some details that I missed about this author, and I apologize. The point is that he was saying that he learned something from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learned two things. One of them he told people about, and the other he kept quiet about because there was going to be harm to him if he let it out of the box. And so some affairs, especially when it comes to the secrets that have to deal with people in authority, if somebody mentions them, there's going to be harm that comes to them or others, because they're talking about harms of people in positions of authority. So the knowledge that needs to be spread is what the Ummah needs. The knowledge of the deen, what people need to learn of their deen to practice it. Not everything needs to be spread out from that, or some details about some individuals. Now, tafadhal Sheikh.
Na'am, barakallahu feekum. Qad yaqul qa'il, Allah jalla wa ala harrama kitman al-ilm. فقال الله جل وعلا إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون. فهذه الآية ومثيلاتها تتناول العلم المتعلق بالأحكام الشرعية التي لا بد من بلاغها ومن نشرها، وهذا تشبه ما سبق من حديث من كتم علما، فقد تكون هناك مصلحة في أن يخص قوم بعلم دون آخرين. ولذلك بوب الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى في صحيحه باب من خص بالعلم قوما دون قوم كراهية أن لا يفهموا. باب من خص بالعلم قوما دون قوم كراهية ألا يفهموا. وذكر أثرا معلقا عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه قال: حدثوا الناس بما يعرفون، أتحبون أن يكذب الله ورسوله؟ حدثوا الناس بما يعرفون، أتحبون أن يكذب الله ورسوله؟ ثم ذكر البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حديث معاذ الذي فيه أنه قال له الرسول صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: يا معاذ، قال: لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك. قال: ما من أحد يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صدقا من قلبه إلا حرمه الله على النار. فقال: يا رسول الله، أفلا أخبر الناس فيستبشروا؟ قال: إذن يتكلوا. وأخبر بهذا الحديث معاذ عند موته تأثما. وهنا يقع عندنا إشكال، كيف أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للنبي، قال لمعاذ إذن يتكل، فيه إشارة إلى ما سبق من أنه خصه بهذا العلم دون غيره، ولماذا أخبر بها معاذ عند موته؟ هذا مما قد ربما يكون بين الأمرين، مما يحتاج الناس إليه في ماذا، في أمر العقائد، وهو ما يتعلق بأمر التوحيد وما إلى ذلك. وتأخير معاذ رضي الله عنه لهذا الحديث فلم يخبر به إلا قبل موته، خوفا من أن يكون من العلم الذي لا يجوز كتمه. نعم،
أحسن الله إليكم. Someone may come and say that if Allah Azza wa Jalla has forbidden us from concealing knowledge, as Allah says, إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى, and certainly those who conceal the knowledge of the guidance, بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب, after we have clarified it to the people in the book, أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون, those are the ones whom Allah curses and the people curse as well. How is it that Allah can inform in His book that those who conceal knowledge will be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then we come and say that there are certain things that have to be concealed. How is this possible? The answer to this is that this ayah is talking about the knowledge that people need for their deen, to practice their deen. This is the knowledge that may not be concealed. There are other things, however, that should be concealed. So we need to look at which type of knowledge we're looking at. Is this the knowledge that the people need to know to practice their deen, or it's something that if they know, there may be some harm that comes about because of it? Also, there are some things that some people should know, but not everyone. Now, we find Sahih al-Bukhari that there's a chapter entitled, "Whoever informs some people about knowledge and not others for fear that they will not understand." And in this chapter, Bukhari rahimahullah mentions an athar, which is mu'allaq on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu, who said, "Speak to the people with what they understand. Do you want Allah and His Messenger to be belied?" And Bukhari mentioned in it the hadith of Mu'adh, in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "O Mu'adh," and Mu'adh replied saying, "Labbaik ya Rasulullah sa'adayk," "I'm happily at your service, O Messenger of Allah." And in it, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Mu'adh that there is no one who testifies to la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah truthfully from his heart, except that Allah will make it for him to enter the hellfire. Mu'adh said, "Shall I not give the people the glad tidings of this news?" The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't inform them, because they will rely on it," meaning they will think it's sufficient for them to take the shahada and be too lazy to do any good works. They think that simply believing truthfully without doing good deeds is enough in order to go to Jannah. At the end of his life, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he informed the people about this, and in spite of the fact that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Don't tell the people or else they're going to lean on this. They're going to lean on this and become lazy." But Mu'adh was afraid that if he died without informing the people, that he was going to be committing a sin. So he informed them because of his fear of committing a sin. So there is an apparent contradiction. And someone may ask, how can it be that Mu'adh was informed not to tell the people, yet he informed them? The answer to this is that he could have interpreted this as something that the people need to know about Aqidah. This gives people certain knowledge of what they need to understand about Aqidah, and So he didn't want the people to be lazy. Yet he veered at the end of his life because of his understanding that this was something that everyone needed to know about their Aqeedah. And so he didn't want to be from those who concealed this. Allah knows best. Tafadhal Sheikh.
Barakallahu feekum. Naam. Fa la ishkal fi hadith Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu لأجل أن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه رأى أن هذا مما يتعلق بالعلم الذي قد تحتاج إليه الأمة ولذلك حدث به رضي الله تعالى عنه وأرضاه. إذن في من العلم ما يكون سرا، ومن هذا الباب ما قد يقع بين الزوجين من الأمور الزوجية، أمور الفراش ومن ذلك، فقد جاء من القبيح أن الرجل يفشي سر المرأة، وهكذا المرأة تفشي سر الرجل، حتى في ما يتعلق بأمر الفراش كما ذكرنا. وهناك أيضا ما جاء أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من ستر مسلما ستره الله يوم القيامة. من ستر مسلما ستره الله يوم القيامة. فقد يعلم الإنسان عن أحد المسلمين ذنبا أو خطيئة أو زلة أو نحو ذلك، فينبغي كتمها، ينبغي كتمها. ولهذا جاءت العقوبة الشديدة للذي يقذف المسلمين، الذي يقذف المسلمين ويرميهم بالزنا ونحو ذلك، حتى لو فرضنا أنه في حقيقة الأمر في الواقع كان الأمر واقعا. فالله سبحانه وتعالى حرم على هذا الإنسان أن يفشي هذا السر وأن يذكره للناس ولو كان في الواقع حقيقة. ولهذا وصفه الله سبحانه وتعالى بالكذب، وصفه بالفسق ونحو ذلك مما هو متعلق بأمر القذف. فينبغي على المسلم أن يعلم متى يحدث بالعلم ومتى يجب أن يكتم. فهذا ما يمكن أن يكون ما آخر ما نقف عليه إن شاء الله تعالى، نكتفي بهذا القدر. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحب ويرضى.
أحسن عليكم. So the aforementioned hadith of Mu'ad, there's no contradiction in it between him being instructed not to inform and him actually informing, because he understood that this was something that was related to the affairs of Aqeedah, which people need to understand. So he informed the people about them, about this affair. Having said that, there are some affairs of knowledge that are secret. For example, spouses between them, they have secrets. Nobody else is supposed to know about them. One of those is what happens between spouses intimately in the bed. No one else needs to know about that. In fact, it's very ugly. It's an abomination for a man to be intimate with a woman, his wife, and then go tell people about the affairs, the intimate details about what he did with his wife. This is a very ugly characteristic. Also, we have the hadith of the Messenger of Allah said that whoever conceals a Muslim, meaning conceals his sins, then Allah will conceal him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So it could be that someone knows about another Muslim, a sin that he has committed or a mistake that he has made, yet he's not supposed to go tell everybody about it. Could be that he not only should, but must conceal it. In fact, we have in the religion rulings pertaining to accusing other people of adultery and fornication. These are serious accusations. Another person, if a person accuses another Muslim a Muslim accuses another Muslim of adultery or fornication, even if it's true, and they saw it with their own two eyes, they're not allowed to say anything unless they have three other witnesses. Even if they actually saw a person committing adultery, they're not allowed to tell anyone. And if they tell anyone, they're supposed to get lashed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden to spread this knowledge, even though it's true, if someone actually saw it. So what about if a person didn't see it and they simply suspected it? It's not permissible. This is from the knowledge that is not permissible to be spread. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, talking about the people who make accusations and accuse others of this heinous sin, he calls them liars and sinners. So, to sum up the topic, a Muslim must know when to speak and when to remain silent. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is pleasing and beloved to Him, and Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.